Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
How much?
Dr. Wamaleka, good afternoon to you. I hope your day has been good.
Yes, the day has been perfect.
Lovely, lovely. Great to speak to you this afternoon. Now, we're concluding our discussion on the great controversy. You know, Christ said, now the prince of this world, the devil, will be driven out. That's according to John 16:11. The
cosmic... He didn't say driven. He didn't use the word driven. What he said, he will be cast out.
He'll be cast out, okay, which means that this is a version. This is a version that I'm reading here. Now, the cosmic conflict came to its climax at the cross, where Christ's love and obedience were demonstrated in contrast with Satan's cruelty and evil, assuring his ultimate downfall. Now, Pastor, was there ever any credible threat from the devil of removing Christ from his place in the universe and in truth?
When you read Isaiah 14, the devil says, Lucifer said in his heart, that's what the Bible says, he said in his heart, which means only God who reads the heart could know what he was saying. He said, I'll be like God. I'll be like the Most High. If you count, I will, there are five of them. And they indicate not just a guesswork, but something that you mean to attain at whatever cost. So what you are saying is that Satan, a spirit from the beginning, was not just to fight God, but to remove and replace God. And not replace him with something else, but by himself. So when Christ came, he says in John 12, starting from verse 31, 32, and so on, he says that, and if I be lifted up,
I will draw all men to me.
I will draw all. But before that, he said that the prince of the rule of this world will be cast out, which means until the cross, he had not yet been cast out. It is at the cross that he was cast out and never again to go to heaven. So he was limited to here, awaiting the execution to come. So in one sense, he has already been confined to here. But before the cross, he could go to heaven. He could represent us. But after Christ defeated him on the cross, Christ legally became our representative. And therefore, your question is, as you ask, is that Satan was defeated at the cross and dethroned, if you want to use that, to use the word. Go ahead.
So what I'm then deducing from you is that for him to be dealt with, that is the devil, it means that he presented a real threat.
Yes, he did. Not you know, it is not just a threat that he presented. He declared a war.
Okay.
And it is more than a threat. So he declared a war against the Most High.
Isn't the Most High, though, extremely powerful? He could just blow him up in just one finger. Shouldn't be.
That's good.
It shouldn't be a threat.
He has the capacity. But you know, the impression that would be created and Satan would use it is that God cannot tolerate any change to him. The best way he would demonstrate that what Satan is saying is a lie is not by eliminating him. No, it is by allowing him to go the full extent of his claim. And then in the end, he'd be defeated. That would be a more powerful way than killing him. The angels and the humanity understand it better when they see it take the whole stretch to the end, so that at the end they're able to say, it is true, he's a murderer, he's a liar, and so on. So the cross is the only one that reveals to us that Satan is a liar, Satan is a murderer. We wouldn't have known that had the cross not been the way.
Okay. Thank you so much. I think that's much, much clearer. Thank you so much. I now understand. I do hope that our listeners are also getting it. Now, Pastor, how does the great controversy challenge the authority of scriptures? I mean, aren't all Christians bound by scripture?
I want you to get clear. What your question is, how the great controversy challenges scripture?
The authority of the scripture, yes.
I don't know whether I'm getting your question clearly, because every time you question or challenge the authority of God, you are also challenging his word, which is the scripture.
Okay.
You cannot challenge God and at the same time claim to be neutral when it comes to scripture. Because it's the scripture that tells us that. It's God speaking to us through the scripture. So when you challenge God or question his method of dealing with Satan, then you, in that way, you are challenging the scripture, because the scripture is the only authority that we base on. God calls it my word.
And I think it makes sense, because if you challenge God, you're therefore going to challenge his word, and by extension, you're going to challenge his people as well. Now, how does the great controversy then explain the mystery of suffering in the presence of a loving God?
It means that what it challenges is that the cause of suffering is not what we physically see. That every suffering that we have is traced to the origin of sin. And when you want to solve suffering, you don't solve the symptoms. What we have here are symptoms. You have to deal with the origin. When doctors treat a disease, they go to the origin. They don't go to the symptoms. Now, the issue is we look at the suffering, but we forget at the root that gave birth to it. So the suffering that we have today cannot be solved by merely removing the suffering itself, but it's by dealing with the original cause of it. So what God says is, once Satan and his accusations are dispensed of, then suffering will have to melt away. When you walk around, you see people in poverty, you see people suffering diseases, know that it was not so from the beginning. And the way God deals with that one is not by eliminating the diseases, but it's by dealing with the cause of it. Diseases come as a result of transgression, of breaking the law, disregarding God's word. And the God says that spirit of rebellion, if it is not dispensed of or dealt with, then you are only dealing with the symptoms of suffering. Or our complaint is only about what is happening. So God says, look upon me. It is me who removes the suffering. It is me who carries you on my shoulders. And therefore, anytime we look at the suffering in this world, we do better to look at the original cause of it.
Yeah.
And from what I can say is that until Satan is destroyed, and not only that, until sin as a virus is also dispensed off, suffering will remain a cry of humanity. So the Bible says, not only has Satan been defeated, but God himself has taken away the sin as a virus. So God says there will be no more suffering. There will be no more pain. The reason is one, because Satan and the sin problem has been dispensed off.
Thank you, Pastor, for that.
Yes.
Thank you so much for that. It's actually a very powerful one. Now, why is it important for us to understand the Great Controversy? What's the significance of the doctrine of the Great Controversy?
If we do not understand the Great Controversy, then our dealing with the problems of this world will be shallow. For example, we may begin thinking of eliminating poverty, but God says no, there's nothing like eliminating poverty. The poor will always be with you. And therefore, it gives us a new look at the suffering and the pain, so that we don't go to commit suicide. We know that God is our hope. So that whatever promise God gives is true. Therefore, it is important that we understand the teaching of the Great Controversy, so that we are equipped to know what brought the order of this world as it is, and number two, what promise God has given in bringing the new order. And the Bible says very clearly that sin, pain, suffering are not permanent.
Yeah.
They are not permanent.
That's good.
What is permanent is God's promise. And therefore, we are saved by that hope. Any person who refuses to listen to God is left with no hope. And that's why it's important to know the Great Controversy, because it ends in our favor, not against us.
And it creates that sense of hope. I think I like that as well.
Exactly.
Because it
sends the sense of hope and sweeps away hopelessness.
Beautiful, man. Beautiful. Well, Dr. Omalika, thank you so much for joining us. I do appreciate your time. You've set aside some time to speak to us since Wednesday, and you have done so eloquently. Thank you so much. Blessings to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, man. Yeah.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.